So how many of you got hope that Jesus is real and that Jesus cares about you? So that's a lot of hands. Some of you, maybe very honestly, and I can respect it, maybe you didn't put your hand up. But even if you didn't put your hand up, my thought is, do you have a little bit, like a little bit of hope that God could be real and that Jesus is real and Jesus wants something good for you? Because sometimes deep inside of us, we think, like, I don't deserve anything good. Or we think somebody else deserves it, not me. But hope is that, like, positive thought. Hope's that positive thought of it could be good, it could be better. Now, faith is a little bit more or a little bit different than hope. But same question. How many of you got faith that Jesus is real and Jesus wants something good for you? We got a lot of it, right? So here's the nice thing about faith is if you got faith or not, you can find out by watching what your actions are. Like, your actions will show you where your faith's at. You know, it's a little more visible than hope because it comes out of you. Like, the things you do shows what you trust in, shows what you put your faith in. And some of you might be running the script in your mind about your past actions, but here's the thing is we got this moment right now, and instead of worrying about the past or instead of fretting about the future, let's just all stay together right now and put some of that faith into action that Jesus is real and Jesus wants something good for me. So here's what we're going to do it together. I got this little slide we're going to put up. This next slide has got kind of three images on it. They're black and white because you got to make them come alive, right? Like, if you don't put your heart into it, it's not really vivid, right? But I got these three positions here. We got this opening up our hands to receive something. We got putting our hand up to give adoration or gratitude or praise to say, like, you did something, God. And we got this last one, this guy saying, I've done something wrong. I'm going to take responsibility to say I did something wrong. Mike was talking downstairs about lots of people want to blame this or that situation or this or that person, but it means something to say, like, I did something wrong, to take responsibility for it, right? So we're going to, that faith piece, sometimes you don't know if you really believe, but today I'm going to tell you, like, if you believe enough to move your body around a little bit, like, that is a little bit of belief. Like, you're saying, I believe this enough to move my hands or to get on my knees, right? Or at least, even, let's not even do the knee one today, because sometimes not everybody can do the knee one. We're just stay as a body. All of us can kind of bow our heads, put our hands together, okay? We'll do that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do like a little guided prayer time. And I'm going to talk, because I know silence can be hard. So I'm going to give you little things to help you think about and bring your heart to Jesus. But also, if you forget what we're doing, you can look at what your hands are doing, right? So when we start here in a second, the first thing we're going to do is put our hands open because we're going to be asking God to give us something. And some of you are like, oh, no. Like, I messed up so much yesterday or whatever. Like, I don't want to start with asking. But if you knew how poor you are and how poor I am and how rich God is, we might as well start with asking. Like, it's just, that's where we're at. Like, let's just be where we're at, right? And then when we get to this one, if you forget what we're doing, we're giving some sort of praise to God, some sort of worship, right? When we get to this one, we're giving some sort of, like, submission to God, okay? So everybody put your hands out like this. You can close your eyes or keep your eyes open. There's nothing magical about closing your eyes. Whatever helps you focus. And if your heart takes you somewhere else, as long as you're receiving from God. But here's what I'm going to guide us in. Jesus, please give me open ears so I can hear you. Jesus, I've been worried about money or about relationships. And Jesus, I'm asking you to give me peace so I can focus. Jesus, next week is going to have some problems in it. Would you please be with me and take care of me? Jesus, there's a person in my life that I'm worried about. Would you please take care of them? Jesus, something in me, I can't fix it. Would you please fix me? Okay, then we're going to move our hands to a different spot. Now we're going to give some gratitude or some praise. I want you to picture in your mind what's something beautiful you saw this week. And I want you to talk to Jesus, either silent or out loud, however you want to do it. But talk to Jesus. Jesus, thank you for making that. I want you to think about some way that God showed you love when you didn't deserve it, and I want you to thank him for it. I want you to recognize some way you've seen Jesus' power, either in nature or in your own life, and I want you to say, Jesus, you're powerful. Here's the last one we're going to do. This last one, I can't give you a ton of specifics, but this last one, it's about taking responsibility. It's about saying, I did something wrong. It does. If you do some sort of vague, like, Jesus, please forgive me, like, that's fine, but I'm telling you, it's going to be better if you say, Jesus, please forgive me for being impatient with my son yesterday, or Jesus, please forgive me for saying that smart aleck thing to that person, or whatever, you know. Get specific, even if it seems petty or if it seems big. So we're going to bow our heads. It's like a submission thing. We're going to put our hands together. I want you to think about something you did that if Jesus were been in the room, his eyes would not have been happy about it. Like you would have caught a glance from him, or maybe you would have avoided his glance because you feel bad about it. Something you looked at on your phone, or some way that you treated somebody that he created, or some way you ran your mouth when you should have just kept quiet. And we're gonna finish, we're gonna say, Jesus, please forgive me for falling short. Amen. So, here's the deal. There's somebody in this room who like was only like half step in that, and then they're like kind of like, well, okay, that's done. Like, we're on to the next thing. And then there's somebody in the room that's like, that's better than any sermon Jake's ever preached, right? You're like, because I just interacted with Jesus, right? And James, Jesus promises us, like, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you, right? So Anthony may have had an experience with God if he drew near to God, or Steve may have, right? It's about what they did with their heart, right? What Marcus did and what Connor did, even though they're sitting next to each other, it might have been a lot different depending on how they brought themselves to it, right? But this thing I did right here, there's nothing crazy about it, but we all just prayed. And for some of us, that's the longest you've prayed all week, right? But you can do it again, right? Like, you don't need me to show you again. I mean, we're going to do it again here, but you know it. And now if you do it, you'll be blessed, right? So we got some cool stuff to look at today, but before we get some of my ideas, I think we're ready to read the Bible. Like, we just went to Jesus and said, Jesus, here's how I need you. We just went to Jesus and said, Jesus, you're great. And we just went to Jesus and we said, I'm falling short. I need forgiveness. Like, when we get to that sort of spot, we're ready for the Bible, right? We're ready for the Holy Spirit to tell us something through the Bible, right? So if we go to this next slide, here's what we're turning to. If you got a Bible, I would love for you to turn there, right? So pull out a Bible. If you don't have one, there's one in the pew rack right in front of you. I will read it to you. But I'd love for you to follow along if you can. So it's John chapter 13. We're starting in verse 31. While you're turning there, Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite authors, he said it's one thing to read a book. It's one thing to read the Bible, is even what he's specifically talking about. He said it's another thing to let it read you. Like when you come to it, to let it tell you what's up. Not for you to judge it, but for you to let it tell you what has authority, right? So when we're coming to this, let's come with this open heart. So if you were here last week, in the last few weeks, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He tells Judas is getting ready to betray him, and Judas takes off. And so verse 31, when Judas had gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified and God's glorified in him." People ask a lot of times, what does Son of Man mean? I heard a couple of Maywood guys talking about it in the hallway today. It comes up in Psalms to be kind of this humble statement about, like, why do you care about humanity? Why do you care about the sons of men? Why did you make us in charge of the earth? And then it comes up in this like big, powerful way in Daniel, somebody who looks like the Son of Man having like all dominion and authority. And Jesus is showing us like he's man and he's got all authority. He's that combo, his incarnation. He came fully as man and fully as God. He's kind of wrapped it into that. Now the Son of Man is glorified and God's glorified in him. If God is glorified in Jesus, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Verse 31 and 32 are talking about Jesus is about to go to the cross, die this brutal death, paying the cost for us to be able to be worthy enough to be there with God. He's going to be dead, and then he's going to rise from the dead. And so he's bringing all this together. Like Jesus is going to be so obedient to God that he's going to glorify God. He's going to be so powerful, he's going to glorify God. And God's going to glorify him. That's all mixed together. That's what Jesus is talking about. Verse 33, my children. I heard somebody downstairs talking about they've messed up so much they don't really like asking God for help. But I asked them about their kids and they talked about how generous they are with their kids. And let's just have the humility to say, like, we're not better than that, like, towards God. Like, we are like a four-year-old or a six-year-old. Like, it's okay for us to come and need help. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. He's talking to his disciples right now because he's about to go to the cross. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. Big statement there. He's going to unpack it more next week in what we're going to read. Then he goes on in verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. 34 and 35 is where it's at for us today. We're going to come back to those verses. But first, there's something we got to clear out of the way. Peter is this awesome guy in the Bible because a lot of times he's making the same mistakes that we're making, right? It's kind of nice to see it, right? And here's, Peter steps in for a lot of us right now. He's about to do what you're probably already doing. See, he misses 34 and 35 altogether. He's not ready for that. He's still back on verse 33. And Simon Peter asked Jesus, Lord, where are you going? He totally misses the command. Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. There's actually this reassuring kind of promise there to Peter. Like, you're going to be with me again. But Peter doesn't understand. So Peter kind of skipped over this big command Jesus wanted to give. He's confused, but he's going to go ahead and lead with his pride in himself, right? And how many of us, like, we haven't really paid attention to all of Jesus' commands. We don't have everything figured out, but we're still pretty confident we can do a lot, right? Yeah, some of you just do it hands, right? So here's what Peter's right in that same spot. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? How many of us are asking that question too? Like, I want what I want now. Like, why not, God? But then here's the super revealing one. I will lay down my life for you. I was reading a commentary on the Gospel of John by Frederick Bruner. Some of these thoughts are coming from him. This is one of those thoughts, though, that I got this week. He said, Peter's so, Jesus has already talked about, he's about to go to the cross. Maybe Peter didn't understand that, but Jesus is saying, like, I'm going to die for you. And Peter is talking about what he's going to do for Jesus. Do you see the mix up there? Like, Jesus is the hero of this story, but Peter's saying, like, I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to do this for you, Jesus. I'm going to die for you. A lot of us, myself included, like, we get ourselves into all sorts of trouble because we're confident that we need to do something, right? We need to do something for God, right? It's not what Jesus has done for us that's driving us. We got this confidence that we're going to be the hero. How many of us are pushing something in our life and we're in some sort of literal hurry even because we got this story in our head about needing to be the hero at work or at home or in front of those guys or whatever it is. And so you're so busy thinking you're going to fix it, you miss the boat, right? Peter talks a lot. If you read the Gospels, Jesus is about to say something to Peter that is going to get Peter to be quiet for chapters of talking. Jesus is going to say a whole lot more, and other people are going to talk. Peter's silent for a long time, and it's because of Jesus putting him in his place right in this moment. It stops him, right? Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." You see, Jesus has been a little hard to understand, but this one's not hard to understand. And imagine being Peter in front of all these guys that you're always arguing with about how you're the greatest. And Jesus is like, you are going to betray me in the next like 12 hours. And there's going to be a rooster crow. Like, I'm not talking figuratively. Like, we're getting real specific. Like, we've all had that moment where we said something big with our mouth, and then we got put right back in our place by somebody. And man, it's shameful, right? It'll shut you up. When you say something and you don't back it up and everybody knows it, you don't want to talk anymore, right? You just want to like get away. Peter's not going to talk anymore, right? Jesus gets Peter to stop talking and just hopefully to start listening with that hard word, right? But I want to take us back to what Peter missed. Verse 34 and 35, I think that's the important one for us here at Maywood today. Jesus calls us a new command. And it's not that the Jewish people had never been told by God to love each other. Like, that's in Leviticus. It's a lot in the Old Testament. Jesus talks about the greatest commandment in the Old Testament is to love God with everything, all yourself, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So what's new about this command? Jesus makes it a new command because he doesn't say just love others like you love yourself. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus just washed their feet too. So this isn't all intellectual. This is very practical. You know, like Jesus just did the job that nobody else wanted to do to show love. And then he's saying, you need to do the same thing for each other. I got another thought, if we can just take a step into the Greek. But before I get there, verse 35, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This one sounds very like poetic and awesome about like, yeah. And it's true. Like the hoorah side of it is like, if we do our part right, like other people are going to be drawn in. Like it's real easy to get focused on like, we got to go out there and we got to do this and do this and do this and do this. But if we don't treat each other well, and we're successful to bring a whole bunch of people in these doors, like what's going to happen? One of my friends who's, he just talked about earlier today, you know, there's people here today talking about everybody just like there are out there, the same amount of people. I mean, that's true, right? It's not like people come in here and they're just like, oh, it's so nice to be in Maywood because I never get talked about behind my back ever, right? Like, and it's not just like me as your judge. It's like, look at us. Like, we got a long way to go, myself included. to treat each other the way that Jesus treats us. So grace and mercy. We need the grace and mercy, right? Like, but here's the thing. If we treat each other, if we're even approaching what Jesus did for us towards each other, we're not going to have a problem with not enough people wanting to get involved, right? Like, people are going to stick because that's not anywhere else. And here's the part that's not so poetic about it is the reality is for us to treat each other that well, the world would know there's a miracle going on here. Like, we could think like, oh yeah, I just need to try a little bit harder. Loving each other like Jesus loves us is not just us trying a little harder. There's like a miraculous element that even like blind people out in the world can see, like something's going on there for those people to be able to treat each other that way. So what does that mean? That means it's not going to be easy. That means you're going to be here and somebody's going to hurt your feelings in a totally unjust way. And you are going to be the victim, and you're going to have to choose, like Jesus, to treat them well, even though they have spit in your face in some sort of way. Like, that's like the loving like Jesus, right? And once we get into those pinches of like, this person really did hurt me, this person really was a jerk, and I'm still supposed to actively do something good for them, we start to get into these spots where other people are going to notice that. Because when a group of people starts to actually like make amends to each other, or a group of people starts to be loving, even when they think that the other person has an issue with them, sometimes we imagine half the problems. You know, like they're not even really there, but we make them real because we thought the person didn't like us, and then we treated them like a jerk, and then they became a jerk, right? Like, but we could do the opposite, right? This is saying if we will love like Jesus loves, other people are going to say, like, there's a miracle going on there. But if we're really getting realistic about it, Jake Taylor doesn't make miracles in my spare time, right? Like, I don't just go home and work for a little bit, and it's like, oh, here, I got a miracle for you, right? Like, there's nothing I can do that's supernatural, right? There's nothing anybody in this room can do by themselves that's supernatural. So if we're going to love like Jesus loved us, like we're stuck in dependence on Jesus to help us, right? Here's where we're going to go into the Greek. I had that commentary help me out a little bit with it. Verse 34, it says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And that's pretty clear, right? Like, Jesus is our example. Pay attention to what Jesus does. In John chapter 9, when Jesus sticks up for somebody everybody else is talking bad about the blind man, we should do that sort of thing. When Jesus hears that the blind man did something good, Jesus shows loyalty to the guy and like goes and finds him, like takes the time to talk to him, right? We should show loyalty to each other. We should notice when someone else is hurting, right? We could just follow Jesus' example. That's one way to take the verse. It's very true. But that word in Greek that gets translated as, it's a word that means two things in English, basically. It means as, like an example, but it also means from, like a river flowing from, like from one spot to another. It means that as well. Like, our love, this verse is saying, Jesus is saying, should flow from Jesus. Our love from each other should come through Jesus. And this is going to come through in what he's going to talk to us in 14, 15, and 16. Like, only by being connected to him can we love that sort of way. But he says it right here. Like, the English can't quite get it, but it's there. That we have to love through Jesus. From Jesus' love, we love other people. So how do we pull it off? I'm going to talk to you about two things I read this week that I'm hoping are helpful. And these are two guys that, I don't know if you guys have read these guys this week, right? They're kind of nerdy or out there things, but I was reading Dietrich Bonhoeffer, this guy who's a German, he's a pastor, he stood up to Hitler, and he got killed for it, right? I mean, that's a short story of his life. But during World War II, he was living with a group of Christians trying to train these guys, and he wrote a book about how it was to live together with these other Christians. And you would think, like, oh, it's a bunch of Christians that are all persecuted by the Nazis. Like, surely they got all their own problems figured out. Like, surely they can be a good team. But the book's actually about a lot of like the struggle to be a community together. And in it, he talks about how do we minister to each other. And there's the first two things he says about ministering to each other. He talks about the ministry of listening. And he talks about the ministry of helping. And honestly, I was reading the whole thing. I thought this would all be great for Maywood this week. But I got to those two, and I was like, we're just going to stop there. We got plenty to chew on for this week. So what does he say about the ministry of listening? He says the way we love our Christian brothers and sisters, the very first thing we can do is to actually listen to them. Like, that's how we show them the love of Jesus, one of the ways. And he says not a half-hearted listening where you're waiting for the next thing to say. He says like a full-blown, like legitimate listening. Here's the thing Bonhoeffer also says with this one. He says, if you think so highly of yourself that you think you don't have time to listen, then you're wrong. I mean, that's not a direct quote, but that's basically what he's saying. He brings up, like, if you think you got too much going on and you don't have enough time to listen, then you're wrong. As a dad, I've got 6-year-old kids, and if you've got little kids, you'll talk to them, and sometimes when you're talking to them, they're also catching a ball and running over here and doing, like, 7 other things, and you know they're not listening. And then you'll say, like, did you listen to me? And you'll get, like, what do you get? What do they always say? Yes. And I'm enough of a jerk to be like, okay, well, tell me what I just said. And man, they get caught a lot in that, right? And then I'm enough of a jerk to be like, well, you're lying then. And then they get, and like the lying deal is then like a bigger deal in our house, right? Like, it's one thing to ignore me or to hit, you know, to do something you're not supposed to do or whatever, but like the lying is a big deal, right? Because lying like totally destroys relationships, right? Here's the convicting thing though, like the Holy Spirit has a good way of like poking you about like, well, Jake, did you notice? So I struggle with listening, right? And I notice, just like my kids, I'll be trying to do something while somebody's talking to me. And here lately, I've tried to just have the humility to, like, if my wife's talking to me, like, instead of doing whatever I was doing, I've tried to have the humility to just sit and just make it my goal to actually just look at her and not do anything with my hands. And honestly, like, I just need to sit as, like, a self-control thing. Like, if I'm moving, I'm going to start doing something else, right? And I don't know, she could tell you how that's going. I don't know. I'm trying at least, right? So here's what I'll say is like, it's hard to not multitask because I think I need to get so much stuff done. Because I think I'm the hero of some little story in that moment, right? But I'm not. And like in that moment, if I could just be a good listener, that's actually me doing pretty good. Like that's plenty on my plate. And what if as a church, when someone's talking to us, we just gave them our full attention to listen? Like Bonhoeffer says, we'd be doing better, right? Bonhoeffer also said about helping, and we're going to wrap this up quick. He said with helping, if you think you're too busy to help other people, like again, then he said you're wrong. And this is like 1930s, 1940s, like before smartphones, but these guys still felt like too busy to help each other, right? So check yourself with that. Like when somebody around you in this church needs help and you're too busy to help them, like just have a little conversation with Jesus about it. Like you can't help everybody in the room, and there's some of you out there help a ton. So this isn't to everybody. But have a conversation with Jesus if you feel like I'm too busy to help that person. Like let that just be a red flag of like I should check with Jesus. Like Jesus, you're in charge of my schedule. What do you want me to do? Right? Because some of you do just need to go home and be with your kids or whatever, right? And not feel guilty about it. But just have that conversation with Jesus, right? Last image for you guys. I read this guy, Wendell Berry, he loves the woods, and he was talking about this image of two ways to go down a river when you got like a bunch of rocks and undergrowth on the side. He said one way, if it's shallow enough, is to get in the water and walk down the river, right? And he talked about this river he was in. It was about waist deep. He said the other way is to get into a canoe or a kayak or something and to float down the river. And he talked about how different these two experiences are. And the difference that stuck out to me, though, he said when you're walking in the river, no matter whether the current is slow or fast, it's always easier to stop and stand still than to keep going forward. And he said, when you're floating the river, you can go still if you want, but it takes a lot of effort to be still. It's typically easier to go with the river. And for you this week, all this stuff I'm talking about and trying to do the next right thing, if it's always hard for you to do the next right thing, you've been trying to walk in Jesus' way, and you can ask the Holy Spirit to be your boat. You can say, Holy Spirit, I want to rest on you. I need your help to flow with Jesus. Before you get home with your kids and you just try to be a patient parent, what if you stopped and said, like, Holy Spirit, would you please help me be patient? I think it'd feel more like you're in a canoe, floating the way Jesus wants you to, rather than like walking, trudging through the water, right? So if things are hard, if it's hard to do the next right thing, stop and say, Jesus, please help me to do the next right thing. Like, ask for the help, right? The last image we're going to go to, I'm going to let you guys go, is kind of the reverse of what we did. And we're going to do this prayer time quicker than we did the first one, but you can do it again on your own if you want to. But we're going to say, Jesus, here's something fresh I want to confess. Then we're going to say, Jesus, here's something good I saw about you in Scripture. And then we're going to ask Jesus for help. Let's do it. Jesus, we just read about Peter trying to be the hero. Jesus, I'm sorry I keep trying to be the hero. I'm sorry for my pride and my fear. And we're going to put our hand up. We're going to give Jesus some praise. Jesus, thank you for not just telling us what to do. Thank you for showing us what to do. The last one we're going to do is we're going to put our hands out because we need to receive. Jesus, I ask for your Holy Spirit so I can be the man you want me to be, so I can be the neighbor you want me to be, so I can be the worker you want me to be, so I can be the family member you want me to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.